Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to episode 1937 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host. Thank you guys for tuning in to Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones into occupied territory across the wire. For those of you in the occupied zones, take heart, be encouraged. You are not alone. It's another beautiful Sunday fall day in the American Redoubt, and it smells like freedom out there. Absolutely loving it. Hey, thank you guys so much for your encouraging letters this week. Several people saying, you know, hey, we're praying for you, praying for your protection, for support, and I'm really grateful for that. What a great family, and I just want to say that. Thank you, guys. And thanks for helping spread the word of Radio Free Redoubt. You guys know that you can listen by calling in, too. We have some folks that do not have internet, or they have limited or metered internet. But they have call-in lines. They can call in easily enough. So you can do that just by calling in and pull that number up. Here you go. It is area code 857-757-1085. Of course, it's not the best quality. I've called in and, you know, listened to it during the breaks when I was, you know, just hearing the quality of it, but it gets the job done. There's another a separate number for listening on Saturday mornings. So I know there's a little bit of confusion there. Folks have gone to Radio Free Redoubt to the live streaming page on Saturdays saying, we can't hear you, or we call in the number and we can't hear you. That's because that stream and that call-in number to listen, although it's listed at radiofreeredoubt.com, you know, how to listen, that is provided. That's a separate stream and a separate phone number that takes you to the ACN, American Christian Network affiliated Liberty Broadcasting Service or system, Liberty Broadcasting System. And the radio station provides that. You can call in and listen to any of the shows that they have going pretty much around the clock and listen to whatever the folks in the Spokane area are listening to on their radios. So that's what you can call in during the time when I'm broadcasting on Saturday mornings and catch this show the Saturday morning show, the John Jacob Schmidt Show, Radio Free Redoubt. But on Sunday evenings, the radio station has nothing to do with it. They're completely out of it. This is directly from Studio A, Radio Free Redoubt, live streaming. And that live streaming service that we use on Sunday nights also comes with a separate phone number that you can call in to listen. It goes one way. You can just call in to listen. You can't, it's not, two way where you can call in and talk. So anyway, I just want to clear that up. Some folks had mentioned that, being a little confused trying to call in, and they were calling in on the wrong number. And so I thought I would just throw that out there. And I need to do that from time to time, just as a general reminder. Okay. We've got a lot of stuff I want to get to. It's going to kind of dovetail into what I've been covering in the last couple of shows. Domestic extremism versus terrorism, and just the blurred lines. But first, let's cover the news and commentary here in segment one. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse in the United States and the rebuilding afterward. Great story. 10 books, all of them are out, of course, and all of them have audio books to go along with those. Now, earlier in the week, just a bit of local coverage, internal news here. We were at AMCON 2 earlier, which means extremely high probability of a disruptive incident, because and that was regional. In Northern California, they had some wind storms, high winds, but the power company, PG&E, announced they were going to be intentionally cutting power off for hundreds of thousands of people, actually millions of customers, as a preventative measure to prevent wildfires, because of the last wildfire that they had was huge, major, massive lawsuit. So they're kind of caught behind between a hard place and a rock, because all of these trees and foliage are so close to the power lines. In a high wind storm, these trees and shrubbery greenery come in contact with these high tension power lines, which are also swinging in the wind, and they arc, which bursts shrubs into flames and starts these wildfires. So they decided they're going to, as a preventative measure, cut this off. So we had the nationwide network was alerted. Many operators on the air standing by to provide support for those California radio operators inside the affected area in case they needed to call for help. And we didn't have any emergency traffic to report, but it turned out to be nothing more than just a really good training exercise to make sure everyone has their stuff ready, and they were making contact and exchanging information. And what it did do, it got a lot of folks to get their stations up and running and their software updated and to get everything operational, which they've been kind of lacking. We kind of need a real world event to kind of kick us in the behind sometimes, don't we? That's what makes you run down and top off all your fuel cans that you've been stealing from for all your yard implements and not keeping them topped off. And then you get a big storm where you need your generator and you've got 1 gallon of gas left with, 4 empty gas cans. So these kind of things are really good for us to kind of just zap us back into our preparedness mode, where we should be. Sadly, a Pollock Pines family says a man died when his oxygen tank lost power during the PG&E shutoff. So there were no wildfires as a result of the wind, because they shut the power off. But as a result, a man on oxygen dies because he didn't have electricity, apparently, to power this. So, you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. But anyway, we're continuing to watch that. There were some wildfires, but they were not related to the power lines. So, and also, on that note, speaking of that, there's a lot of information going on about California saying amateur radio is not viable anymore, so we're not going to allow you to have a repeater up on our mountains. There is one source for this. We are digging because apparently the letter is real, and I have an attorney letter from the complainant against the California Cal Fire, one of the bureaucracies. And it does say, hey, technology's moved on and amateur radio is just not that important anymore. So this guy's got this going viral now. It's all over the internet. I've had multiple people send it to me. Have you heard of this? Oh, this is horrible. But as near as we can tell so far, we're continuing to research, it is only one party who's complaining. No one else has gotten any of this correspondence between themselves and the state, those who maintain and operate repeaters. So I don't know if this is maybe a problem individual. They just don't want to deal with them anymore and renew the lease where they have the repeater up on state land. Kind of a problem child. I don't know. Is this the beginning, and it's legitimate, and the beginning of a trend where we're going to start seeing a cascading effect, and this guy just happened to report it first. So we don't want to discount it, but we don't want to totally lose our minds over this either until we get more information. So we're aware of it. We're looking into it. It would be very disturbing if this were true and a trend, but it would also not be surprising given that California is in a degrading state economically, socially, and politically and economically. As powerful as they are economically, they are bearing a ton of weight economically with their, you know, taking on so many illegal immigrants and hurling themselves toward socialism and communism. Which is another interesting parallel that I noted with all of these, from the Soviet Union states to Venezuela to all these degrade Venezuela, South Africa. As Marxism increases, their infrastructure degrades, and you find yourselves in situations where they have to cut the power. For some, it's always a legitimate reason, but services, infrastructure begins to fail. And here we are in the Socialist People's Democratic Republic of California now, where they have to shut off power. It's for the power, high winds. But they've had high winds and they've had high tension power lines for decades in California. Now all of a sudden we have fires. Why? Because of Marxist policies, environmental craziness, where they won't even allow them to get into these places, reportedly, to maintain those buffer zones, because there's all kinds of environmental impact and permitting and overregulation, and so they can't properly maintain this stuff. So you have vegetation growing up around power lines that are causing fires. It goes back to socialist policy. So anyway, I've been watching this very closely. It's very interesting. And of course, none of that's conclusive. A lot of that's just my own hypothesis. But there are definitely some parallels, patterns that we see. Now, speaking of California completely going off the rails and losing its mind, another example, why anybody would still be there, I have no idea. MAGA, as in Make America Great Again, MAGA listed as a white supremacy at San Diego City College. The flyers were handed out at the seminar called Confronting White Supremacy Through the Arts. They should have just titled it The Threats We Face or something. Would have had a little more weight to it. But this was listed over there at redoubtnews.com. So using the term white supremacy, the globalist elites are pushing their hate agenda through public education, grooming our children to hate conservatives that disagree with them. They're teaching them all about their socialist ideals. San Diego City College jumped on the bandwagon earlier this month and held a seminar to teach their students about what they perceive as white supremacy. They say that our friends at Campus Reform have come through for us again when they grabbed a flyer from this seminar that claims that cultural appropriation, racist mascots, and Make America Great Again, or MAGA, are instances of white supremacy. This just lost all of its weight. Everything is white supremacy now. That's the catch-all phrase. If you are opposed to Marxism, you're a white supremacist, even if you're Asian. So, pushing the government to give them more tax dollars, or are they hoping to attract local citizens and get on board by way? Okay. The handouts have identified the following as symbols or examples of white supremacy. I got a little list here. I'm going to read to you. Make America Great Again. Confederate flags. Mass incarceration. Celebration of Columbus Day. Denial of white privilege. Colorblindness. And much more. I'm just not surprised. From Jihad Watch. Over there in Europe, the fallen continent. From Finland, a politician was fined $4,500 for noting that jihad terrorists, quote, have one thing in common. They all serve Allah. Finnish lawmaker received a second verdict for ethnic agitation. This is from Helsinki, October 10th, just this week. The Oulu District Court of Finland on Thursday sentenced Sebastian Tynkkynen, a member of the Finnish Parliament, to pay a 50-day fine. What is that, a 50-day fine? What does that mean, 50-day fine? About 4,050 euros for anti-Muslim agitation, Finnish media reported. The verdict applied to the text and images shared by Tynkkynen from the populist Finns Party in his Facebook account of in 2016. So apparently he's not past the statute of limitations for this crime. Tynkkynen, aged 30, posted pictures of alleged perpetrators of terrorist attacks and stated in the title that they have one thing in common: they all serve Allah. Well, was it true or untrue? According to the verdict, Tynkkynen's viewpoint of the Islamic group was a deliberate, racist, and disparaging hate speech, which was generally directed at all Muslims, really, and likely to incite contempt and even hatred based on religious intolerance toward the Islamic group. We don't want to be intolerant of jihadis, right? Therefore, the district court ordered Tynkkynen to remove the post from social media and pay the fine. So apparently this wasn't the first verdict that he'd received. He was convicted of ethnic agitation against Muslims and sentenced a 50-day fine in January of 2017 for another posting, which claimed the less Muslims in Finland, the safer. So you just can't say stuff like that. He's not learning his lesson. He needs to move out of Finland and move to the American redoubt, or to Hungary, the European redoubt. Now from Redoubt News, also Oregon, they have a gun lockup ballot title has been issued. The Secretary of State issued a ballot title for a measure to force you to keep your self-defense firearms unavailable and useless. The ballot measure is Measure 40. It's Oregon's for Safe Gun Storage and Reporting Lost/Stolen Firearm. So that's going to be going on the ballot, apparently. This is just more just insanity by the left. For example, while it requires that guns be rendered useless with cable or trigger locks, it also says the gun isn't legally locked if these locks can be defeated. Well, trigger locks and cable locks can easily be defeated with common household tools. Section 4 restricts transfer of a firearm to minors, but Section 3 of that same section says it doesn't apply to firearms owned by minors. Well, how do you transfer a firearm to a minor who already owns it? So, in short, ballot measure 40 creates a quagmire of incomprehensible mandates and dangerous restrictions designed to create a legal minefield for gun owners. Well, that's precisely what it's designed to do. From the Geller Report, Portland Trailblazers join Nazi-inspired boycott of the Jews. Of course, she puts hashtag Kristallnacht. German boycott of Jewish businesses was the direct antecedent to the boycott movement. If you guys don't remember what that was, in Germany, the Nazis boycotted Jewish-owned businesses. Well, the Portland Trailblazers, apparently, along with some of these, some others, I don't have that in front of me, so I'm not going to go there. I want to make sure I have my facts in front of me. But the Portland Trailblazers put out a call joining the boycott against Israel. So they've gone anti-Semitic on us. Now, also from Redoubt News, they're just hitting it this week. Oh, this is great. Now you can buy a car and get an AR-15. Now, sadly, this is not in the American Redoubt, but a car dealer in South Carolina is promoting his country in this very unusual way and going viral in the process. Carolina Ford is offering a semi-automatic rifle voucher, a Bible, and a U.S. flag with every vehicle sale. The God, Guns, and America promotion, announced in a post on their Facebook page, runs through November, according to the their publication, the newspaper called The State. Customers who take advantage of the deal will receive a $400 voucher for a Smith & Wesson AR-15 rifle at a nearby gun store, locked and loaded. The gun store will conduct background checks, and buyers must pass those checks before receiving the firearm. Isn't that amazing? You purchase a vehicle, and you will be actually leaving the dealership with a Bible and your American flag, And they said that we'll give you the voucher to you to go to a local reputable gun store. Carolina Ford General Manager Derek Hughes said to NBC 8 News. So good on you, man. I hope he makes a fortune. I hope he sells out of all of his cars. That's the kind of business I'd want to support. That's the kind of business we need more of in the American Redoubt, as far as I'm concerned. All right, just your brief little two-minute teaser from Liberty State Radio, which, by the way, will air in its entirety all, what is it, 15, 18 minutes? Somewhere right in there every week. Lady Liberty with Liberty State Radio at the end of the show. But here's your little three-minute vignette. And then we'll be right back with segment two. Got some good stuff to talk about. Violent extremism, domestic terrorism, blurring the lines. More on that, and it's going to dive right into the direction we're taking all this. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Lady Liberty. Thank you for joining me again today. I have to say, as an author and subject matter expert on the UN system of global governance called Sustainable Development, that the majority of the reason we are wanting to detach from Western Washington in the first place is due to policies that are pushed from the United Nations. Most people don't realize that all the myriads of problems we are facing in Washington State right now all originate back to UN policies. Their reach covers every aspect of our lives. It pretty much goes like this. If it sounds un-American, it probably is. Such as gun control. Does that sound un-American to you? Well, it is. The UN seeks total guns and weapons control over the entire world. And does agricultural regulation sound un-American to you? It is. The UN seeks total control of the food supply. How about federal or state-funded abortions? Does that sound un-American to you? That is also un-American. The UN seeks ultimate population control, and that is just one of thousands of population control methods. In fact, when I had first started researching the UN in 2007, I watched a VHS video from the library that was published by the UN themselves in 1972. They came right out and said that their three primary goals were, 1, guns and weapons control, 2, food control, 3, population control. Of course, that was prior to them becoming their modern version of user-friendly censoring of their statements and word choices. The Washington State Department of Ecology bases their actions and policies on the global governance model submitted by the UN. All of the Growth Management Act is a product of the UN. So with that, this has been a Liberty State broadcast, a broadcast from the grassroots people. Please join me again next week as we make progress on the greatest effort in America. This is Lady Liberty, signing off for now. Until next week, may we trust in God, and may God richly bless America and Liberty State.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
And where?
We're back with segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you that are strategically relocating to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, in the heart of the American Redoubt, you need some help finding the place that's right for you, check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right, now, last week we were talking about blurring the line between violent extremism, domestic terrorism, and I want to take you to an FBI document. And this just reeks of rhetoric from the previous administration under the president who will not be named. And I know it's taken time. And like they said, the Vice President Pence said, we need 4 more years to continue draining the swamp because it's a monumental task. And I believe it. And they've got among the ranks all of these, there's an anti-American agenda. They're Marxists. They're infiltrated throughout all of the ranks. including, as we've seen, the Department of Justice and the FBI, all the way at the highest levels. So no hit on you, Patriots, down, you know, the boots on the ground, FBI guys who actually do want to do the right thing. Man, you've got some Marxists among the ranks. So help the if you're in a position to help this commander in chief drain this swamp and get this kind of garbage out of our government guidance and documentation. But they've got a website on their website, the FBI.gov, under their teen website. So they're targeting children with this. All right. What is violent extremism? It says, don't be a puppet. Well, so they describe, you know, what is violent extremism? Violent extremism is defined by the FBI as, quote, encouraging, condoning, justifying, or supporting the commission of a violent act to achieve a political, ideological, religious, social, or economic goals. Explore the key parts and tools of violent extremism by reading each topic below. Now, first of all, supporting the commission of a violent act to achieve political, ideological, religious, social, that's not extremism. That is terrorism. Yes, of course, terrorism is extreme. But they're trying to create two different lines here. But see, they're blurred because now if you hold to conspiracy theory ideas that Marxism and the United Nations is trying to take over the United States and the world, well, that's extremism. And now if you want to stand against that, the erosion of borders, stand for national sovereignty or nationalism, which is also extremism. So now violent extremism and extremism are becoming synonymous in the mind's eye of their target audiences. And this is a very dangerous thing because they include extremism with violent extremism with terrorism. So they talk about groupthink, violent extremism and groupthink, getting around groupthink, don't be a puppet, and so on and so forth. So I don't have time to, you know, dive into all of this stuff at this time. But they list examples of targets of hate. The following are just a few of the places around the world where American symbols have been attacked by violent extremists. Violent extremists have also attacked many symbols important to other countries. Okay, so this is under the category of targets of hate. Now remember, hate is an emotion. Hate is an emotion like jealousy, envy, joy, happiness. Okay, it is a negative emotion. But and an emotion is what's going on inside your mind, how you think about things, right? So what they're doing is they're targeting what you think or how you think, because hating somebody is not Christian, but it's also not illegal. You can have any view you want. I really don't care, as long as you don't cross the line to harm somebody because of how you feel about them. As the saying goes, the proverb, you know, your rights end at the tip of somebody else's nose, right? You have the right to hate them for any reason you want. But of course, they're trying to turn that into a crime. You do not have the right to punch them in the nose because you hate them, right? You cannot violate the rights of another person and use that as license to say, I have the right, right? But here's some examples. A religious temple. Oak Creek, Wisconsin, August 5th, 2012. A white supremacist named Michael Wade, doesn't matter, opened fire at a Sikh place of worship near Milwaukee. All right. Target of hate. So this is violent. Oh, wait. This is extremism. Okay. Violent extremism. Now, that's pretty extreme. I have to agree. And that was violent. I have to agree. Now, is he trying to affect policy, social change through violence? That's terrorism, right? World Trade Center, New York City, New York. Now, first, remember, we have a white supremacist. Now, next, we have just violent extremists attacking the World Trade Center. See the difference between specifically naming a white supremacist with his name there. All right. And then we go to the World Trade Center, and it's perpetrated by unnamed violent extremists. Just violent extremists have targeted the World Trade Center two different times. First attack was on February 6th, 93, and the next one was on September 11th, 2001. A group of hijackers flew planes into each of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. Nearly 3,000 people from around the world are killed. And down at the bottom in the very last sentence, Al-Qaeda extremists carried out both attacks. Now, hold on. Just grab that term for a minute, if you will. Al-Qaeda extremists. So, you can have... this is just... I don't even want to go into it. Al-Qaeda extremists. So, as if there were a difference. There's regular, normal, run-of-the-mill Al-Qaeda, and then there's Al-Qaeda extremists. But see, at the beginning, they just say violent extremists. They don't say jihadis. They don't say Islamic extremists, right? Because they're happy to say Christian extremists, religious, Christian extremists, white supremacy, white racist extremists. But when it comes to Islam, one of the many sacred cows we have to protect here, we can't say anything negative about it. We just get it in general terms, call it violent extremism. Well, that's the whole category. This entire piece is violent extremism. On the U.S. Capitol in 1954, a Puerto Rican extremist. Why didn't they just call him a violent extremist? No, specifically a Puerto Rican extremist. Arlington, Virginia, headquarters of the Department of Defense, one of the targets of September 11th attacks by Al-Qaeda extremists once again. There's just regular, law-abiding Al-Qaeda, and then there's Al-Qaeda extremists. So we want to let you know, Al-Qaeda is not a bad thing unless you're an extremist. Vail, Colorado, environmental extremists torched and virtually destroyed a ski resort in Colorado. Federal building in Oklahoma City, anti-government extremist. Why didn't they just say violent extremists like they did with the Al-Qaeda guys on the World Trade Center? Anti-government extremists. Now, what's interesting with the anti-government extremists, and this was extreme. There's no question about it. It was wrong. It was wrong on every level. What Timothy McVeigh did. And what still gets me, there's no word of this. This individual, this Middle Eastern looking man who got out of the bomb laden truck with Timothy McVeigh, it was seen on closed caption camera from a business across the street, and they walked off camera and disappeared. But no mention of that. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff that doesn't add up with that. But there we have anti-government extremist. And anti-government and extremism is tied to Timothy McVeigh. All of that is become synonymous. So now this becomes the terminology du jour of the left, the anti-conservative, anti-Americans, who are trying to educate folks on extremism, violent extremism. So anyone who speaks out against illegal immigration or traditional marriage between a man and a woman, if you're pro-homeschooling, if you're against forced vaccinations, you are labeled as anti-government. And you have a propensity for becoming extreme, and so probably need to be watched. So all these words tend to just blur together. Again, the U.S. Embassy attacks in Nairobi, Kenya, violent extremists. Of course, down further, they say both attacks were directly linked to Al-Qaeda. Whoa, now for the first time that I've seen, they didn't use Al-Qaeda and extremists in the same sentence. It was just straight up Al-Qaeda did this. So somebody slipped up. you're supposed to add Al-Qaeda extremist there after Al-Qaeda to differentiate between the, you know, the good law-abiding Al-Qaeda and extremists. So not all Al-Qaeda are painted with a broad brush and you know, looked at as extremists. That move is only reserved for conservatives. Don't be a puppet. So this is really interesting. And I want to read, I want to just drop down further here. And it says, many violent extremist ideologies are based on the hatred of another race, religion, ethnicity, gender, or country/government. Violent extremists often think that their beliefs or way of life are under attack, and that extreme violence is the only solution for their frustrations and problems. Now, this is dangerous language, because our beliefs and our way of life in America is under attack. But if you say it, then you are using the same language that they are using to warn people what to look for in violent extremism/terrorism. And so just saying our way of life and our beliefs are under attack immediately falls into the category to raise red flags to bring attention to you for further scrutiny. So I'll read on. Despite what they sometimes say, violent extremists often do not believe in fundamental American values like democracy, human rights, tolerance, and inclusion. Okay, first of all, those are not democracy, human rights, tolerance, and inclusion are not fundamental American values. So this is skewed. This has got the previous president, who will not be named, is all over this. I mean, his ideology, his mindset, and all of the people that he surrounded himself with and appointed and placed in these positions. Despite what they sometimes say, violent extremists often do not believe in fundamental American values like democracy, human rights, tolerance, and inclusion. So if you do not believe in democracy, human rights, tolerance, and inclusion, you are categorically a potential violent extremist slash terrorist, right? Same level as Al-Qaeda or Timothy McVeigh or anyone else who's carried out heinous terroristic acts. So they say terminology that has been those are my own notes I typed in here. This is terminology that's been manufactured and is being forced upon citizens in Western countries, such as across Europe, and in North America, in the U.S. and Canada. Okay. Human rights has replaced natural rights or God-given rights. Right? What they've done is used, you know, race. And then later on, they've used, which was a legitimate thing for us to deal with as a culture. And then it's become the perverts have taken over the human rights movement and become the human rights Gestapo, forcing sexual perversion on your children and you in your homes and in your workplace. So I want to address, look at American, fundamental American values like democracy. What's more fundamental than what the founding fathers had to say? Wouldn't you say that's fundamental? That's foundational. What everything was built on is fundamental, right? At the lowest level, the foundational level, they say we extremists or violent extremists often do not believe in fundamental American values like democracy. But see, that's a lie right there, because democracy is not a fundamental value, American value. Let's look to see what the founding fathers had to say about democracy. Democracies have been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and in general, been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their death. James Madison said that about democracy. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. John Adams said that. Between a balanced republic and a democracy, the difference is like that between order and chaos. John Marshall said that. Alexander Hamilton said, "It has been observed that a pure democracy, if it were practicable, would be the most perfect government. Experience has proved that no position is more false than this. The ancient democracies in which the people themselves deliberated never possessed one good feature of government. Their very character was tyranny. Their figure, deformity." And then finally, to compel a man to furnish funds for the propagation of ideas he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. Thomas Jefferson said that. So we have natural rights, personal rights, that has been replaced with an agenda-laden human rights and inclusion and tolerance. There are things we should not tolerate, and we have examples of this all through our country from the founding fathers all the way forward, stating that there are things that we should not tolerate, like Marxism. It is at war with our Constitution. Islam, or Sharia law in particular, is anti-constitutional. It is compelled to replace the United States Constitution, which is unlawful because we are guaranteed a republican form of government. We are guaranteed to be a republic. It's in our Constitution. So anything that wishes to replace that with another system other than a republic is unconstitutional. It is unlawful. In fact, it's illegal, and it's subversion to try to advance even the idea of replacing a republic form of government and our Constitution with any other system. Straight up. Let's take a break, guys. Segment 3 coming up here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there. Go forth and have no fear. Come close and lend an ear. And I say, hey, 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 living life with Reverend Gaines. Hey, 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 living life with Reverend Gaines. Reverend Gaines.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question, every individual. Are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the free zones across the wire into occupied territory. And this is segment 3. Segment 3 is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designed to help keep you safe and to help keep and help you thrive. They offer remote consulting services, so they can assist you anywhere in the United States with planning your property in a way that integrates the key elements of water, food, energy, and security. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now we're talking about foundations of America. What's foundational? What is fundamental of American values and principles? I like what they're doing over at americassurvivalguide.com. They have a project over there called America's First Principles. And so I just want to share that with you from their website. It's a really good summary of America's first principles. And of course, they dive deeper into this, but they state a quiet crisis has gripped America and threatens our survival. Oh, there's violent extremism there, right there. even stating that our values and our system and our way of life are under attack. But it's true. You'd have to be a moron. They just want, it's a way of silencing you to point out the enemy as he's coming. You're just supposed to look the other way. Just ignore that elephant in the room. But a quiet crisis has gripped America and threatens our survival. Our experiment in self-government requires a vibrant understanding of our first principles and engagement by an informed public, which they don't want you to be informed either. And if you are informed, you're not supposed to act on it. Our greatest challenge is no longer a foreign nation or even terrorists armed with weapons of mass destruction, but preserving our liberty despite ourselves. So, foundation of American freedom and liberty. Rejecting the oppression of the past, America's founding fathers established the American Republic on our first principles to secure our freedom and liberty, which is the job of government, to secure the citizens' freedoms and liberty and protect their liberty. We are the first, perhaps the only nation that holds as self-evident truths that all men and women are created equal. All right. Totally different than what modern, what they mean in modern terms for equality. But we hold self as self-evident that truths, these truths that all men and women are created equal, created. That means there's a creator and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that governments are instituted to protect those rights and derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Stated differently, America was founded on certain first principles, and this is the gist of what they have here. So, where is it? The first principles, the rule of law, is a first principle that mandates that the law governs everyone. In other words, no one's outside the law. The first principle of unalienable rights recognizes that everyone is naturally endowed by their creator with certain rights. Equality is a first principle that recognizes that all persons are created equal. The first principle of the social compact recognizes that governments are instituted by the people and derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. The first principle of limited government means that the protection of unalienable rights is the legitimate purpose and limit of government, requires the government to be strong enough to fulfill its purpose, yet limited to that purpose. A final first principle is the right to declare revolution when the other first principles are being infringed by the government, this website states. Our Declaration of Independence explains that these foundational ideas were the philosophical underpinnings of the American Revolution. Once independence was secured, the Founding Fathers labored to ensure that the Constitution became the living embodiment of a government based on these first principles. So, and then, of course, you know, I got into the don't be a puppet, you know, the FBI's information there going out, basically saying, you know, that violent extremists often believe they don't believe in American fundamental ideals. Well, there's some fundamental ideals right there. But anyway, this FBI documentation continues. Realize that even when others are at fault, violence isn't the solution. Well, I would say violence isn't always the solution. Our country was founded because they pleaded. They pleaded and they begged for a peaceful solution. They were peace makers. Peace. They wanted to keep the peace. But, I mean, when a strong man comes into your home and he's got a knife in his hand and he says, I want your wife and I want your valuables and belongings. And you say, no, I'm not going to allow you to have those things. Then he has an option to turn around and walk out the door. But when he attacks you, you have a duty, an obligation to defend life, liberty, and property. And so I would say that violence isn't always the solution, and it is only a solution as a last resort. But sometimes it is the only solution. That's why we have gone to war. I'm sure that a letter to Adolf Hitler pleading for him to stop his world occupation and his aspirations to consume the entire globe with the Third Reich, when he snubs his nose at that, you finally have to take armed men and you have to meet force with force, because there's you're left with that. But the mistake that those who would be easily persuaded, the gullible, would think that we are anti-government when we're not. We're pro-government, we're pro-constitution, we're pro-rule of law. We want those fundamental, foundational things. And we understand that people, and we were warned that that there would be people that would scheme to try to take that away from us. And that only force would maintain that long term. So I want to reread Abraham Lincoln's quote. When he said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." And to take that a little bit further, to pervert the Constitution means to act unlawfully, outside the law. And when they have unconstitutional, unlawful agendas, we can choose to comply or not to comply. And if we choose not to comply, then to gain our compliance, they must use force. And that's when we are justified in using force to resist that unlawful oppression and tyranny. It's built into, it's part of our heritage. It's built into our Constitution for that purpose. The reason why we are to be armed is for the security of a free state. And they placed way more emphasis on a potential tyrannous government acting unlawfully and unconstitutionally than they did foreign invaders. So that's where we're coming from. And there are people that do bad things. But on one hand, you know, we're told not to paint all Muslims with a broad brush just because the actions of a few. You use some of these actions of a few, white national, white supremacist, whatever, that or just violent extremists in general that want to blow up a building to prove a point, does not reflect our values and our views. We have a very balanced approach to this, a very level-headed, balanced, and correct, and a righteous stance on where we stand on these issues. And I know the guys who blew stuff up, they thought that they were righteous too. But that's not our message. That the way that some of those people have conducted themselves is not something that the founding fathers would agree with. Robbing banks and blowing buildings up, killing non-combatants, that's just wrong. And we stand with you guys on that. Okay. Now, segment four coming up. I want to share something with you. Really, really cool. It's a book that I'm reading right now. I'm reading a couple books right now. This one's by David Barton, Original Intent, The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. It is truly our heritage. And I want to share just a segment of that with you to close out tonight's show. It's a little lengthy, not bad. I think you'll enjoy listening. I hope that you will enjoy hearing it as much as I've enjoyed reading it. So stay right there. Segment four coming right up at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of The Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner.
Right, coming into the fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. Segment four is brought to you by Werks Holsters. That's with a Z as in Zulu. WERKZ.com for your custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers. And all their stuff's made here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And also, they've got the whole line of Liberty State holsters as well, where you can have the Liberty State flag or the Liberty State seal put on your holster, and they take a portion of those proceeds and donate those to help support Liberty State. So that's an option for you guys living in Liberty State. Now, I want to take you to a book that I'm reading now, and actually it's kind of like a book section here. This is just a treasure. It is just like everything from Wall Builders. That's why we play their podcast right before Radio Free Redoubt. So the half an hour before Radio Free Redoubt comes on. And then also, I want to get back into playing Chris Ann Hall's Liberty Radio shows also before Wall Builders. And I haven't done that just because my Sundays have just been so pressed. The Wall Builders is aired. I select one of their podcasts from the previous week to air just before Radio Free Redoubt every Sunday night, as many of you know. But this book, I'm reading two books right now. I'm going through Original Intent, The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. Really, source document history of our Christian faith and founding and our heritage and proof, evidence that the courts have upheld that. And it's all through all of our documentation and history. Now, I'm reading another book. Oh, what is the name of the author? It's a Tipping Point. He also wrote Blank, which is an amazing book. But I just finished earlier this week, actually, I just finished the three-book series, Ava's Crucible by Mark Goodwin. Excellent. About America's Civil War III, the next Civil War from a Christian perspective. And it was pretty brutal, but really well done. It's kind of reminded me a lot of When the Almond Tree Blossoms by David Akeman, but only brought more modern. And of course, it's got Mark's signature all over it. And he does a really good job with those. But I wanted to share this with you guys. I've got about a page and a half from this in Original Intent. And this chapter is titled The Historical evidence. And I think it's really important for us to have a proper perspective from a national, from a Christian perspective, and a historical and American heritage perspective, especially given the challenges that we're facing today. So hopefully you guys enjoy. Are you guys enjoying the show tonight? Hopefully you are. I hope that you are. And this is a really a treat for me, and I just want to share it with you. When the decision for a separation was made, the founders still maintained their strong entreaty to God for the justness of their actions. For example, in a letter to British officials, Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution, declared, "There is one above us who will take exemplary vengeance for every insult upon His Majesty. You know that the cause of America is just. You know that she contends for that freedom to which all men are entitled, that she contends against oppression, rapine, and more than savage barbarity. The blood of the innocent is upon your hands, and all the waters of the ocean will not wash it away. We again make our solemn appeal to the God of heaven to decide between you and us. And we pray that in the doubtful scale of battle, we may be successful as we have justice on our side, and that the merciful Savior of the world may forgive our oppressors." Now that's how you stand against your adversary and oppressor and say, "We're standing righteously against you, and we're praying for you that the Lord will forgive you, because all of the blood that you've shed and all the evil you're responsible for, the oceans will not wash it away. But we're praying that He may forgive you, but we are still going to stand against you." That's my viewpoint. That's the viewpoint of those people that I surround myself with and that I associate with. Adams also authored a manifesto for the Continental Congress, which reflected a similar tone. And he wrote, "We therefore, the Congress of the United States of America, do solemnly declare and proclaim that we appeal to the God who searcheth the hearts of men for the rectitude of our intentions, and His holy presence declare that, as we are not moved by any light or hasty suggestions of anger or revenge, so through every possible change of fortune, we will adhere to this, our determination." Pretty solid. Now, after the separation occurred, despite the years of peaceful entreaties, some British leaders specifically accused the Americans of anarchy and rebellion. This sound familiar? 240 some years later, here we are, standing against oppression, standing for the Constitution, standing against evil, and holding to our Christian heritage, and we're being told that we are, violent extremists because of our sentiments. But back then, they accused them of anarchy and rebellion. To this charge, John Quincy Adams forcefully responded, "There was no anarchy. The people of the North American Union and of its constituent states were associated bodies of civilized men and Christians in a state of nature, but not of anarchy. They were bound by the laws of God, which they all, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all, acknowledged as the rules of their conduct." Now, before I go on, I want to point something else out. As they try to lump us up in with rogue individual so-called militias or white Aryan extremist, white supremacist, whatever, Timothy McVeigh blowing up a building, all of those people acted on their own. The founding fathers, and this is my sentiment, and those that I know of and surround myself with, believe in being responsible and accountable to a higher authority. These were representatives. These were leaders, chosen leaders in their time. They were chosen by the people. There was a hierarchy. There was accountability. They were answerable to people, and they were not acting out on their own, taking the lives of non-combatants. Right, so even in today, that is our sentiment. So don't lump us in with people that are going out and acting on their own to take the matters into their own hands, acting unrighteously. Anyway, Francis Hopkins, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a church choir leader, musician, noted poet, and literary figure, similarly discounted any notion of anarchy or rebellion in his 1777 work titled A Political Catechism. So I want to go, this is really what I wanted to bring you to, and then this is going to close us out, because it's important for us to look at what we're up against: oppression and lawlessness and corruption from people who have abrogated their authority or usurped authority and that are acting unlawfully, and we want to stand against them peacefully if we are able to effect change. But as Christians, we could be forced as we go further and Marxists and globalists become more aggressive and more militant, where we are forced to defend life, liberty, and property for our posterity, for future generations, to maintain any resemblance of America and Americanism. We have to work. These guys have already been confronted with this, and they were able to articulate where they stood on the issues, and we need to as well. So we can turn to them because they've gone before us. So this is from Francis Hopkinson, one of the signers of the Declaration, and his work, A Political Catechism. And he goes through it as a series of questions and answers. So he asks a question, he poses the question, and then he provides the answer to it. So first one, what is war? The answer, the curse of mankind, the mother of famine and pestilence, the source of complicated miseries, and the undistinguishing destroyer of the human species. Question, how is war divided? Answer, into offensive and defensive. Question, what is the general object of an offensive war? Answer, for the most part, it is undertaken to gratify the ambition of a prince who wishes to subject his arbitrary will, a people who God created free, and to gain an uncontrolled dominion over their rights and property. Question, what is a defensive war? Answer, it is to take up arms in opposition to the invasions of usurped power and bravely suffer present hardships and encounter present dangers to secure the rights of humanity and the blessings of freedom to generations yet unborn. Question, is even defensive war justifiable in a religious view? Answer, the foundation of war is laid in the wickedness of mankind. God has given man wit to contrive, power to execute, and freedom of will to direct his conduct. It cannot be but that some, from a depravity of will abuse these privileges and exert these powers to the injury of others. And the oppressed would have no safety nor redress but by exerting the same powers in their defense. And it is our duty to set a proper value upon and defend to the utmost our just rights and the blessings of life. Otherwise, a few miscreants or unprincipled individuals would tyrannize over the rest of mankind and make passive multitude the slaves of their power. Thus it is that defensive is not only justifiable, but an indispensable duty. Question, is it upon these principles that the people of America are resisting the arms of Great Britain and opposing force with force? Answer, strictly so, and may heaven prosper their virtuous undertaking. These are Christians who went before us that were faced with the same questions and approaching it with the same attitude that we're trying to promote, that we're trying to instill, bequeath. So quite simply, the American Revolution was not an act of anarchy. In fact, throughout the course of the struggle, the conflict was often described by the Americans as a civil war rather than a revolution. And a chronological survey of the acts before, during, and after America's separation from Great Britain provides numerous examples illustrating the Americans' consistent reliance on spiritual principles. And I would argue that if we are to prevail, we need to look at this through that same lens. as Christians, standing defensively to defend life, liberty, and property, and to secure our rights if we are forced to. And I pray that we are not. But as I often say, if history is a measure, it seems inevitable that at some point in the future, you will either have to submit or resist to tyranny. So hopefully you guys are blessed by that. If you guys get a chance, check that out, that book, Original Intent. It is hard for me to put down. And this is something that I would have to go through 10 times because it is so rich. It is so rich with history and heritage from a Christian perspective. And it really strengthens your resolve and your passion for America and our Christian heritage. Just a beautiful piece of work. So if you guys do check that out, go to Amaron.com or RadioFreeRedoubt.com and click on the Amazon link and click on through, and that helps us out with a small affiliate fee, but it all adds up, and we're grateful when you guys think to do that, and tell your friends as well. But that book right there continues to be a blessing to me. I hope that was a blessing to you. You guys have a great week. Be safe out there. Keep your head on a swivel. Stay frosty. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.